Welcome back to the Morning Skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. Joined by Taylor Guzzi, Eric Evenson, and Kendall Grayson, I am the host, Seth Juniac. And we've just gotten past all of our NHL talk for the day. And so now we get to the cool stuff, the fun stuff. The Olympics are here, and they're going to be happening in Sochi, Russia, coming up pretty soon, actually, in the next couple weeks. And we could talk about Olympics. We could have a whole show about the Olympics. But we're blessed, I guess that's the word for it, to get to talk about the most interesting thing, and that's the hockey. You know, it replaces the NHL All-Star Game this season, and, you know, granted, this is an All-Star Game in its own right. There's all the best players in the world are going to be there, unless your name's Bobby Ryan and, you know, a handful of other players. But before we get into talking about the dissection of the groups, I'm going to kind of pass it over to Taylor to kind of explain how the seeds and how the groupings work.
Yeah, the format's a little different this Olympics. There's going to be three pools with four teams. That's no change. And the top team that wins in pool play from each of those three groups is going to get an automatic bye, as well as the top second place team among those three groups. So you get to see, depending on those teams' records in pool play. So those four teams move on with the bye. The other eight teams are going to play a bracket-style first round, and those winning four teams out of the first round of the bracket will then move on to play those four teams with the bye, and then you'll see that normal eight-team bracket that people are used to seeing in tournaments.
So if you don't win your group, you still do have a chance to, I guess, win the gold medal.
Yes, you do.
And that's something that USA will probably have to deal with. So we'll kind of go group by group. And the first one we're going to go with, the reason I say that, is Group A is the group with the United States in it. It includes Russia, Slovakia, and Slovenia. Now, those are three teams that I guess aren't doormats. But none of these teams are doormats, to be quite honest. But United States, they get to deal with Russia. And so we're going to go each team, maybe a couple quick comments about them. But we'll start with Russia. And one of the things that stands out to me about the Russian roster is the amount of firepower on their top six line. And so I'm going to kind of hand it over to you guys. Does Russia have the best top six? We'll start with you, Kendall.
Well, they may very well. I think that, you know, you go back to the last Olympics and that Canada and the U.S. sort of battled, and they were the two rivals, and you got the gold medal game that was unbelievable, obviously. But for me, I think Russia is going to perform a lot better than a lot of people think. I think that that is a team that the USA will have to deal with if they want to move forward, as you just said. Russia's got so much talent, a lot of KHL players on the roster as well. But Russia they will take pride in this Olympics. They take pride in their hockey team to begin with, but it's at home this year in Russia, although the officiating, things like that, will be dealt with the IOC. But again, Russia, a lot of talent up top, especially. And for the United States, I think that the U.S. will come out of this group, actually, but they will have to go through a very talented Russian team that will be looking to embarrass the United States.
Embarrassed is definitely the word to pick there. Do you disagree there, Eric?
No, I don't. I think they have, if not the best, one of the best top six forwards in the tournament. They have Ovechkin, they have Kovachuk, they have Vladimir Tarasenko from the Blues, they have Evgeny Malkin from the hometown Pittsburgh Penguins, they have Pavel Datsyuk. This team is just loaded offensively. It's going to come down whether they can stop some people. Their defense may be a little shaky, but I think their goaltending could be one of the strong suits on this team, with Semyon Varlamov and Sergei Bobrovsky, the Vezina winner from last year. So I think this team will perform very well at home because of that offense and the goaltending.
Let's give a mention to Artem Anisimov and Alexander Semin as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are two forwards who knows if they're in the top six, but very talented players, so deep at forward. So I agree with you, absolutely. Russia will have some talent this Olympics. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll definitely mention the Hurricanes. So
yeah, we'll get them in there.
but just to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, Eric, the fact that their top six or their top three has three of the top five players in the National Hockey League in Ovechkin, Datsyuk, and Malkin, and the fact that one of them is going to be playing on their second line, that's just something that's just mind-boggling. And the fact that they do have, you know, two of the better goalies in the NHL, at least to, you know, kind of contribute. Round us out there, Taylor.
Yeah, I think you guys have touched on it. Russia has the best offense and the best goaltending in the Olympics, in my opinion. Eric nailed it as well, though. I think their defense is a little shaky. They got a strong top two, but once you get past those top two, they're not bad players, but they're not wow players where you're going to be nervous sending your top two lines out against and worry about necessarily scoring goals. So defense could be their downfall, but I do have Russia winning this Group A.
Yeah, One quick question, I guess I'm going to open up another question for you guys before we move on to the other teams. With this Russian roster, one of the things that sticks out when you look at it on a piece of paper, there are a lot of KHL players, not NHL players, but KHL players. And there are plenty of Russian players in the NHL, but they chose to go with some stuff that's, you know, some guys that are from the KHL. And so starting with you, Eric, my question is, does the fact that they have a lot of KHL talent help them or hurt them?
I think I don't really have many, like, a real strong opinion on this. It could help them, could hurt them. It could help maybe the fans could get more excited because they have their home players playing there, not just Russian players that play in the NHL, but Russian players that stayed home, played in Russia. But it could also help the chemistry a little bit. I don't know. I don't think it'll affect them too much. Those are still, as you mentioned, really good players. They just play over in Russia.
Taylor?
Yeah, I think the KHL, I don't have too much of an opinion either. The KHL is starting to rival the National Hockey League, not on a domestic level, but on an international scale. If you were born in Russia, grew up playing hockey in Russia, there's almost a 50-50 shot you're going to choose to play in the KHL as well. So that talent's also very strong.
Kendall?
I agree with that, absolutely. The Russian-born players seem to go to the KHL to sort of finish their careers and maybe go over there if they're unhappy with what's going on in the NHL and contracts and all that. I don't think, you know, it necessarily helps or hurts either way, but I think that having KHL players on your roster, that means those guys are going to have a lot of heart and they're going to have a lot of pride for their country, and that's something you want on a roster, whether you're talented or not. If you have pride in your country and you have a little bit of talent, that can go a long way in Olympic play.
One thing I do want to point out that I think, actually, I was surprised none of you guys mentioned it. I think it helps them a lot because of the ice surface. The ice surface that the Olympics will be played on this year is a KHL rink. These are, you know, all the KHL players play on a rink that, you know, again, if you haven't heard, the rink's a little bigger, a little wider. And the KHL players, they're used to it. They don't need to adjust at all, but some of the NHL players will. And so for teams like USA or Canada or Sweden, all NHL players, they get to, you know, they have to kind of adapt to that. The KHL players, not so much.
I just want to touch on that. The Olympic-sized sheet of roster, sheet of ice, as you mentioned, helps this Russian roster because they have so much talent on forward that allows their guys to create more space and use their skill to make plays. So that's a very good point there. That could be something that helps out Russia more than anything in this Olympics.
Yeah, and so that kind of sums up with Russia. And Taylor kind of already picked Russia. We'll kind of get to that here in a bit. But now we'll kind of just touch on the other two teams before talking about the U.S. Slovakia is another team, and there's some good players on Slovakia, including Zdeno Chara, Marian Hossa, and Jaroslav Halak, the goalie for the Blues. They finished fourth in the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, and so I guess my question, without getting too much into it, do you think they have enough to step above, you know, from fourth to third? You know, do they have a chance to get a medal? We'll start with you, Taylor.
Yeah, I think this team definitely has a shot to medal in the Olympics. I don't have them medaling, but the talent is definitely there, and I think a team like Slovakia is actually the most overlooked team in this Olympic tournament. They're the reason this Group A is going to be the hardest group to come out of in the Olympic tournament, and I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if the U.S. and Russia both split records with one of those two teams beating each other and the other losing to Slovakia, because they're going to pull an upset. There's no way Slovakia doesn't beat one more of those U.S. or Russia teams.
Yeah, if it was as easy as just the better team winning, then we wouldn't watch hockey. It wouldn't be interesting, right? How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I agree. There's good talent on this team. As you mentioned, Zdeno Chara, one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Marian Hossa, who has been a former 50-goal scorer in the NHL. And Halak, they'll have good goaltending. I think they do have enough to compete for the bronze. But I think some of these other teams, like Sweden, Finland, the U.S., will just be too much in the end, and I don't think they'll be able to get there.
Round us out, Kendall.
I have the same sort of feelings. I think that Slovakia has the potential to surprise someone. A lot of NHL players on the roster to not be named Canada, Russia, or USA. You know, there's a lot of talent there. Jaro Halak is a guy that has the potential to get hot in a round of play like this. So if he gets things fired up, lots of good things there. Zdeno Chara, we've already mentioned his talent. Really good on defense in general. The addition of Andre Sekera as well. Marian Hossa is up there at forward, a very talented player. So there's talent there. And who knows? They could surprise somebody. They could medal. They have the potential. But I think from our general understanding, I don't think they're going to be able to get the job done.
Yeah, I don't think so, but that's no knock on. I don't think they'll medal, but that's just no knock on them. There are a lot of really deep, talented teams, just more so than them. They are a deep, talented team, but there are other ones that are just more deep and more talented. Other teams in Group A, not named the U.S., Slovenia. Not much we can really comment on that other than the fact that it's just Anze Kopitar is the only NHLer from the L.A. Kings. Here is a neat fact, though. The coach of the Slovenian squad is Anze's father, Majaz Kopitar. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I don't speak Slovenian, but that's just an interesting, you know, family ties there for the Olympics. And so that takes us to the U.S., which we can have a whole segment about just the U.S. team in general, but I just have a couple questions, just so we can kind of dissect it. There's a lot of controversy about the team being selected. There were a lot of good players that are not going to represent their country, but I want to take specifically a look at the defensive line, you know, the defensemen, because there were a lot of ODs in, you know, offensive defensemen that were left off the roster, and with a wider ice sheet, those are guys that would be an asset to your team. I'm speaking, of course, of Keith Yandel, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Dustin Byfuglien, too. He didn't make the team, but he's a guy who, again, he's been one of the hotter American defensemen. Will that come back to bite them, especially on the bigger ice? We'll start with you, Kendall.
It's got the possibility to. I mean, I think that the USA will be able to use their forwards enough to sort of get some goals on the board and give their defensemen some room to work. But I think that the players that were left off the roster, I'm going to trust Dan Bylsma 100% on this. I think he's one of the better coaches in the league, and he sort of put a comment out there that it's not always about selecting the top 30 players or whatever you have, that you're trying to get some emotion, you're trying to get some players who can add to the locker room and things like that. And this is a U.S. team that I think has a lot of expectations, and they may have overachieved a little bit in the last Olympics, making it all the way to the gold medal game and then getting beat by Sidney Crosby in overtime. So this is a team that we'll see how things progress, but I'm not so concerned about the defense because they have a lot of offensive talent to sort of give some goals to the defense, and the goaltenders can have a little bit of room to work.
Taylor?
Yeah, defense is actually my biggest concern for this team. I think they lack a little bit of depth there. I think a couple of those names you mentioned easily could have been selected on this roster. Again, there are a lot of good, strong defensemen that have been playing well this season, so you can never not necessarily snub someone from the roster, but it does happen. And I think the biggest downfall for the United States could be who shows up in net. Goaltending is real questionable. We know Ryan Miller was great in 2010, but all three of these guys are kind of been up and down in the NHL season so far.
Yeah, that's definitely, I have that question written in the outline, and it's definitely a very important question. But as far as I just, you know, again, I'm really disappointed. I'll admit this is kind of a homer question. I'm really disappointed Yandel didn't make it. So, you know, as being like a top three in terms of points defenseman of All-American, you know, the Bostonian there, you know, and just the fact that he doesn't get to represent his country, and some of the guys, not that any of the guys that made it aren't talented, but I'm just really kind of disappointed to not see Yandel's name called him. But before we get to talk about some of the other questions, what's your take on the defensive group there of the U.S., well, Eric?
I think there's enough firepower on offense to score goals for this team, so I'm not so concerned about the offensive aspect of the defensemen. I think there are some good defensemen. I think Dan Bylsma did make some good decisions. I like the pick of Paul Martin, Brooks Orpik. I think they will pair together, and they will bring good chemistry on defense. I also like Kevin Shattenkirk and Ryan Suter, two very good defensemen. And not to mention Ryan McDonough, one of the better defensemen in the NHL from the New York Rangers. I think this team has enough on defense. I don't think they need so much offense from their defense either.
Suter, one of the alternate captains named yesterday, he joins Zach Parise as the captain and Dustin Brown from the LA Kings as a alternate. But you're absolutely right there. You know, there's no concerns because these are a bunch of talented guys. But it still is just the kind of players. You know, would a guy who is specifically a puck mover. I know that David Poile has said that they were going to take the Sharks' Pavelski, and he's going to man the point on the power play. Would it have been better to kind of have a guy who does that, but also plays defense instead of kind of skimping yourself a little bit there? So that's. Before we move on to the second group here, Group B, just a quick question related to the U.S. roster. Who starts in goal? Taylor kind of alluded to the question. Jimmy Howard's healthy, Jonathan Quick's healthy, and Miller, he's been kind of inconsistent, but he's still Ryan Miller. We'll start with you, Eric. Who do you have starting in net?
I don't think that Jimmy Howard will get as much of a shot as the other guys, but I think if Jonathan Quick is on his game, we'll have to see maybe the next few games to see if he can catch fire. But last year, the 2 years ago in the playoffs, Jonathan Quick absolutely carried the LA Kings. But Ryan Miller last time in the Olympics absolutely carried the USA. So I think it's either Quick or Miller. I don't really have one set over the other right now. I think they're about even. Maybe we can see in the first couple games of the tournament. But both of them, I think, are good options at goalies for the U.S.
Round us out, Kendall.
I agree. I think that it'll come down to Quick and Miller. I like what you said, though, before you threw it to Eric, that Ryan Miller is still Ryan Miller. He has that potential to really start his game up. And again, he cares a lot about the U.S. He was the starting goalie back in Vancouver. So when he's named to this roster, that may rejuvenate him. Now, he's been playing off and on this season. He's had some good games, but it may be a matter of just poor defense and poor everything out in front of him with Buffalo. So we'll see if he gets the nod. Right now, before we start the Olympics, I think Quick is the favorite, though.
Taylor?
Well, if I was Dan Bylsma and I was the coach of this U.S. team, I would go Quick, Howard, Miller, and I might surprise some people. I just think Ryan Miller, like Kendall said, struggling with maybe some poor defense in front of them, and the U.S., as we mentioned, it may be defense could be their downfall in this Olympic tournament, and there's no room for error in the Olympics. You don't play enough games where more than one loss could set you out, even out of medal contention. So I'm going to go Quick starting for sure. Howard and Miller might fight it out for that second spot.
I kind of eluded my feelings a little bit, but my pick to kind of start in that is Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller, you put his NHL troubles aside this season, he always kills it on international ice. The past couple Olympics are proof of that, I think. And, again, Quick is a guy that, if he needs to come in, he can come in and he'll be solid. Howard's the same way, but to me, this is Miller. I think this is his chance to start in net. We'll kind of move on to Group B real quick. There's not really, there's only one team I guess we can really make a lot of assertions about. So before we, before we go and talk the other two groups and kind of close out a little bit, we're going to talk, so Austria is one of the teams in the second group. There's three NHLers, Thomas Vanek and Grabner, the two headliners. They're, above average offensive players. Finland has 16 NHLers with Tuukka Rask, Nett, Korpikoski, and, just a solid stable of players there. They won the bronze in 2010, so there's a chance they could step up. And Norway, who only has one NHLer, and I'm not sure if Mats Zuccarello is the guy that can carry his team single-handedly, the lone Norwegian player in Sochi. So before we go to a break, I kind of want to talk about a couple Canadian questions because that's the last team in Group B. One of them is kind of the biggest story, I think, coming in for Canada. If Steven Stamkos is healthy, do you let him play? We'll start with you, Kendall.
I think you at least have to ponder it for a while and give him a shot. I mean, I don't know how Tampa Bay would feel about that, but, I mean, if he thinks he's ready to go, and this is obviously a big moment in the year, you don't get the Winter Olympics every season, so we'll see if they indeed go to him. I think we said in Group A it's going to be the U.S. and Russia. Here in Group B it's going to be Canada and Finland, I believe. So enough talent on Canada. I hate to say you don't really need Stamkos, but I think that if he's healthy, you've at least got to be honest with yourselves and give him the chance to prove himself there in the Olympics. We'll see what he can do if he is indeed healthy, but it would certainly be a boost to Canada if he's able to suit up and go for them.
Eric?
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's absolutely in the lineup. He's not just in the lineup for me. He's on the first line. We're moving him over to wing with Sidney Crosby and Chris Kunitz to make the trio that would just be insane for this Olympic team. But, yeah, if he's healthy, he's in the lineup for me. One last note. Don't count out Finland. They have a very good goaltender in Tuukka Rask, and you mentioned they finished, they got the bronze in 2010. They could make some noise in this Olympics.
All right, us out, Taylor.
Yeah, I think Canada has the most depth on offense and defense, and that Stamkos question, I don't even think it is a question. If he's healthy, he's going to play. They don't care about their NHL status in the season, though, in terms of those coaches. They're going for the gold medal. This is a big honor for those guys. They want to win it.
Yeah, I agree. If he's healthy, you let him play, because he's the one of the best players in the world, and he's going to be playing for your team if he's playing at all. Kendall?
Well, I just want to add, though, if Stamkos gets hurt again, then does the NHL send their players back to the Olympics? That's what you don't want to happen. You don't want to have a superstar go over there and get injured, maybe coming back too quick, and then all of a sudden we're back to 1980 where we're playing with college players. That'd be the only thing I want to add.
That's a whole other Oprah show, though. Yeah. So, yeah, before we go to break here, I just have a quick question for you guys. There were a lot of big snubs from Team Canada. And so, you know, no Martin St. Louis, no Joe Thornton, no Claude Giroux. So I just, you know, just quick, guys. It doesn't need to be a long paragraph. Just does Canada have the best team they could have gotten?
I like some of the choices they make. I think they went good. I think they made a good choice getting Chris Kunitz, pairing with Sidney Crosby. He scores a lot of goals next to Crosby. And I think they went more kind of with chemistry, and I like those picks.
I think St. Louis is the only snub of that roster. There's one guy in there. This Canada team, just St. Louis has to be in there.
I agree, absolutely. I mean, I think we're okay. I think if you're looking at it from a whole, Canada did the best job they could, just like any other team. And Canada's so good, they're going to have to leave off some very, very good players. So Canada, they have a very good roster. They'll be able to perform well in this Olympics.
Yeah, I agree. You know, St. Louis is a disappointing casualty, especially since this might be his last chance to ever play. But that doesn't make Canada any less of a competitor in Sochi coming up. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking Group C, so all kinds of good teams. The Czech Republic, Latvia, Sweden, Switzerland. You're listening to The Morning Skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music.